720 WGN, Dane Neal here, Allstate Showcase Studio in Fort Patty until 2 a.m. And Dino, we'll talk Cubs on a regular basis, and it's great to talk about them when you know they've won a World Championship, won a World Series, and you're looking at, it's always been, right, as great as some of those players on the field have been and their accomplishments, Wrigley Field is as big a star as any one of the players ever have been, right? It's an iconic venue. It is one of those places that I don't care what sport you're into or not into, that you need to make a pilgrimage to Wrigley Field at some point in your lifetime.
Well, it's a landmark. It's a destination, and people come in from all over to just to see the park. And, of course, when they're successful as they were last year, it's even better.
Draws millions of fans and some championship baseball. Also some great concerts. If you could see your favorite band in that setting is something you definitely want to do. And now coming up, you're going to be able to see probably and hopefully important bowl games happening there. To talk a little bit about that is the Chicago Tribune's very own. We're honored to have him on the line with us. Teddy Greenstein, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane. How are you guys? What's going on?
We're doing good. This is exciting stuff. You know, whenever you can find different ways to make Wrigley Field part of the conversation, you got to be excited. We saw Northwestern play the Pinstripe Bowl out at Yankee Stadium. It's cool to see these venues kind of being used and in those settings. And so Wrigley's going to join that crowd.
It's so true. I mean, it's nice to be able to talk about, you know, the Cubs and Wrigley Field in January outside of the Cubs convention. And I think for a lot of fans, it'd be cool to go to Wrigley Field, you know, in late December. It'll be chilly, of course, assuming they get a bowl game there. But, you know, I was there in 2010 when Northwestern played Illinois, and it was way cool. I mean, just stuff you never see, you know, field goals that get kicked into the bleachers. And, you know, one of the goalposts is basically like painted into the side. So, Wrigley, of course, hosted football for many years, and I think it's you know, it would be a great thing if they can host a bowl game, you know, especially if you can have a Big Ten team there, you know, if you have Wisconsin or Iowa or Michigan State. I mean, you know, a lot of great fan base in Chicago, of course.
On paper, it sounds like something really great. You mentioned up a couple of challenges, though, is that, you know, it's this old venerable place that never was built for football. So you've got to make some compromises on what you can do with the field size wise, too. Some of these bowls, you know, you can bring in lots of people. You look at some of those larger stadiums, you just can't fit as many people. How are they going to address that? I saw in your story, they're going to find a way to, you know, take care of that end zone issue at least.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, in terms of the size of the field, I mean, the Cubs really say that even in 2010, if they'd been given a few weeks' notice, they could have accommodated. They could have basically moved the wall along the third base line if they'd been given some time. But at the point, you know, 48 hours before, when the Big Ten and Northwestern came in and said, whoa, there's not enough space here, then they kind of all freaked out and said, all right, what are our options? And the safest one was just to have, you know, both offenses go the same way. But they say it will not be a problem. The dugouts are going to be moved closer to the foul poles, and there will be enough room. And, you know, in terms of attendance, I mean, if they can get 40,000 for this game, that would be probably drawing better than the average bowl, because you've got a lot now that, you know, you see them on TV. 18, 20,000, 30,000, 32,000, you know, so 40 is not much compared to, you know, what the Rose Bowl gets, but 40,000 is a good crowd for a mid-level bowl.
What the Pinstripe Bowl, what was the attendance at that game, Teddy?
It was 37 and change. That game has drawn between like 36 and 47,000 over the years.
You know, given Chicago fans something else to do in December, you know, I think that place will fill itself up pretty fast between the two teams and the people here that are alumni, hopefully, of the, you know, whoever gets picked for that. I'm sure they won't have a problem filling it up.
Well, and not only that, it's like people have to keep this in mind. You know, when you host a bowl game, the players and a lot of the fans are here 4 or 5 days, and that's tourism dollars. And it's really good for those kids who are going to be going to places like, you know, when the Obama Library opens and places along Michigan Avenue and the Art Institute. And, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, they think of the student athletes as just players. Like, they don't think that, hey, you know, this would be a good enriching experience for them, but it really would be. And, you know, if, let's again say, like, you know, Iowa is in this game, you got to think, all right, the Iowa fans are going to be pumped up. Maybe they want to spend a few days here, spend some money in the restaurants and hotels. And that's certainly a good thing for Chicago any time of year.
Well, and you hit on it, too. I mean, Chicago is a place. It's a better place to be than, let's say, Birmingham, Alabama, or you know, Orlando, Florida, or any of these places where the Bulls are. And they're all draws no matter what. And before we got you on the air, you know, we talked about, you know, Wrigley Field is as big a star as any of the players. So I got to think that. And you mentioned a mid-level bowl. Maybe it won't, you know, have the, I guess, the impact as far as, you know, who's going to win a national championship. But it'll be one of those really desirable places to be, I think, right from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, that's all still to be determined. And I think a lot of it is based on, you know, how much the Cubs want to invest, what kind of a title sponsor they can get, what kind of a TV partner they can get. I mean, if you're starting this bowl, you don't want to be on the bottom of the rung. You know, like right now, there's a bowl in Detroit called the Quick Lane Bowl. And, yeah, it's tied into the Big Ten. And the game it had was Boston College against Maryland. It's like, whoa, that was terrible. You want to be at least somewhere in the middle so you're getting, you know, maybe an 8-4 team. I mean, Pinstripe worked out beautifully. I mean, Northwestern was just 6-6. Pitt was 8-4, had beaten Clemson. And it ended up being a super game. So, you know, if you're going to have Wrigley, you know, you want to have, you know, you want to have teams. You're not going to get the best teams, but you want to have good teams there.
Maybe you can do like a second tier or kind of, I mean, I don't know how much leverage or control anybody has in this, but maybe if you did make one of those teams kind of a second tier Big Ten kind of consolation prize thing, it's not the Rose Bowl, but, right. And that I think would make where you'd have kind of indigenous fan base for it from the get-go too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, warm weather bowls are great. I've been to many of them. But what are the activities? Okay, you go to Busch Gardens or you go to Dave and Buster's. I mean, again, all that's fun. We love Dave and Buster's.
Ski ball.
You know, we love the beach. But, yeah, but, like, think about, I mean, when Northwestern and Pitt, when those guys were in New York, you know, they went to, like, St. Pat's Cathedral. They went to the 9/11 Memorial Museum. They went to Wall Street. You know, they did stuff that is like lifetime experiences. 70% of Northwestern players had never been in New York. So in terms of stuff like that, it was a total reward for the players and something they'll always remember.
You know, and also the history of, you know, Wrigley Field. You've had all the Bears games back in the 70s. They could say they played on the same field as a Gale Sayers or a, you know, Dick Butkus. But I think, you know, the way the Bulls are tied in right now with the, you know, the Big Ten, with the various leagues in the Big Ten, and it's probably going to take a little while for them to get a decent matchup in there. I know you're mentioning the game in Detroit, which is, it's one of those ones I just cross off because I don't think I've ever watched one of those games. But,
yeah.
You know, this one's got a draw because of the venue, and, you know, that's a big thing. Plus, all around Wrigley Field, by the time they're going to put this together, all the improvements will be done. That hotel will be there. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people coming in from out of town to come in and see a lot of stuff.
Exactly. And that's the part that I hadn't really thought of until I talked to Crane Kenny. And he's like, guess what? Guess what this is going to look like in 2020? You're going to have the Hotel Zachary. You're going to have all these restaurants, this plaza. So, you know, it's great to see all that stuff get used 12 months a year. And I live in the neighborhood. Yeah, if you're the Hotel Zachary, absolutely. You want to be selling out, you know, 12 months a year, and you want to breathe life into that area when it's non-baseball season.
Well, you mentioned the plaza there, and do you have any information on the latest there? I mean, we're seeing, if you've been down there and if listeners have gotten down to kind of Wrigleyville, you know, in the last, you know, X amount of 6 months or whatever, I mean, it's like a war zone over there. There's so much going on, and if you look at some of the models or the kind of the artist renditions, it's going to be pretty amazing, you know, when it's done. But on that plaza side, that is going to be really, really cool, right? It's going to be an attraction for the community. They're thinking, you know, ice skating, different events, concerts.
Right.
But I know that, you know, as always, there's some kind of pushback from certain parts of the neighborhood. What's the latest on that?
I mean, just class. And I live at Clark and Irving. I mean, I'm, you know, an apron walk to the plaza. I am right there. And I mean, yeah, I get one guy emails me today. He's like, oh, this is the worst. I mean, you know, it's going to be so noisy at night and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, first of all, they're not going to be night games. I mean, we're talking about, like, Northwestern will play there maybe twice out of every three seasons, and it'll probably be an 11 a.m. kick or 2:30 at the latest. And obviously the bowl game is not going to be played at night. They're not going to have a night game in late December.
Seven below.
So he's like, well, I live two blocks away, and when they had that football game there, it was noisy at 6 a.m. It's like, dude, then don't live two blocks from Wrigley Field.
Yeah,
I mean, people are so cranky. I mean, there's a lot of places to live in this world and in Chicago away from Wrigley if you can't handle a little noise.
If they're really worried about the noise then, what are they doing now? I mean, all you hear, all you see is construction crews and people coming in and out of there. I mean, you know, if that's going to bother them down, you know, in 2020 when everything's going to be finished, I don't know what they're doing now.
I was only sad that the McDonald's left. I mean, that was the biggest loss for me. But apparently, the Mickey D's will be back in the plan, so I'm satisfied.
Right,
and Teddy, how do you just chalk that up to, you know, it takes a village, and there's going to be certain people, no matter what it is, that you know, that are not going to be happy about whatever it is? Because I think generally, and you can kind of do that, give us with your hand on the pulse of the neighborhood there, are people genuinely excited? It's got to be if you're living there, right? So you know that, you know, this is happening and the Cubs are there, and it's really a positive thing in so many ways for everybody that's there. Is everyone generally excited, or are they, I mean, it's change, right?
Yeah, I mean, that really was the only email that I got, and I'm sure, you know, the Cubs deal with it, Tom Tunney deals with it, and you know, I'm sure that there should be a balance. Look, I mean, the Cubs are having a lot of concerts. To me, the more the merrier. I mean, I can hear the music from my place. I'm not so close that, you know, that I have people, you know, I don't know, peeing in front of my house.
I didn't want to say that, but I'm glad you went there.
Yeah, right. That's what we always think about. So for me, it's perfect. And I guess, yeah, maybe if you moved here 20 years ago, you didn't sign up for concerts and various things. But, you know, the flip side is your property values have gone up so much that you can sell your place and
move on out
to a more quiet, you know, location. You know, I did a story a month or so ago about, you know, Tiger Woods is going to be designing this golf course on the south side, Jackson Park and South Shore. And that's a tricky one because, you know, you have people who have gladly played Jackson Park and South Shore for 10 or 20 bucks for years. And now, you know, they're going to be shutting it down, and it's certainly going to be more expensive, but hopefully not that much more expensive. So you can understand, you know, why some people in the neighborhood aren't thrilled with it. But look, I mean, if these kind of projects are done well, virtually everyone benefits.
It's a good thing. It is a good thing. A lot of good things are happening, as well as all the good stuff that you're bringing to the Chicago Tribune. So we love what it is you do. And before we let you go, how can people follow you, keep up with all your adventures with the Tribune and social media?
Twitter handle at Teddy Greenstein. Give me a follow. And of course, check out the Tribune. You know, the story ran today on the web, but we'll have a nice display tomorrow in the paper. So hopefully there's still a few people who actually buy real newspapers out there.
All right, Teddy.
Got one right here.
We love what you do. And thanks for jumping on the phone tonight.